Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. Tonight's message will be brought to you by Pastor Jeff Arthur, pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Good Hope Through Grace is a radio broadcast ministry of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. For more messages from Jeff Arthur or more information on Elizabeth Baptist Church, please visit our website at www.ghtg.org.
Text tonight is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we continue our study through the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to begin in verse 17 and then we'll work our way down to verse 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this honor and privilege to be able to teach your word on the radio. And Lord, we pray for those who are listening. We pray that, Lord, that you would open someone's heart tonight, that they would see their need of a Savior. We pray that the person is saved that is listening. We pray that they be made to rejoice in the reconciliation that they have in Christ Jesus. We pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to title the message tonight, The Ministry of Reconciliation. It's based off 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. Paul spoke that unto us was committed or given the ministry of reconciliation. And that really goes all the way down to us today. If you're listening to me and you're saved, you might not be a preacher, but we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the good news of reconciliation. The bad news is that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and stand in need of reconciliation. But praise God, we got a message to spread by which man can be reconciled to God. Well, tonight we're going to notice three details about reconciliation, and I'll go ahead and give them to you in advance. We'll look at reconciliation defined, then we'll look at reconciliation described, and then we'll look at reconciliation declared. Defined, described, and declared. Now that's the focus of verses 18 through 21. It's mentioned two times in verse 18. It's mentioned again two times in verse 19. It's mentioned in verse 20. So it's mentioned five times in these verses. So that's what the subject, that's what the main focus is of these verses, the ministry of reconciliation. Well, let's look at reconciliation defined. Reconciliation is to go from being an enemy of God into a position of peace with God. Let me give that definition to you again. Reconciliation defined is reconciliation is to go from being an enemy of God into a position of peace with God. Now, there's no middle ground here. Either you are in a position of peace with God or you're God's enemy. There's no middle ground in this thing at all, and that's an important thing for you to be able to see. You're either reconciled or you're God's enemy. And there's, like I said, there's no middle ground in this thing. Let me read you a couple of verses of scriptures to show you your great need of reconciliation. In the book of Romans chapter 5 is where I got the statement that I just made. It says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now that shows you how you're reconciled. You're reconciled through Jesus Christ. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It says we were enemies. That's why I said a little while ago there's no middle ground in this thing. You're either reconciled, brought into a position of peace with God, or you're God's enemy. You got to ask yourself as you're listening to me now, which one are you? Are you God's enemy, or are you in this position of peace? Romans 5:10 says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Enemies. You skip on back down to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So you go from being an enemy to being reconciled to God, to being brought into this position of peace with God. How is that? It's you're justified by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of Romans 5 says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we were enemies, and the day that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, by faith receive that He died on Calvary for your sins and rose again the third day, then when you trust Him, you go from being an enemy to being a friend, to being a child. Now you just think about that. You go from being an enemy, not only to being a friend, but a child of Almighty God. Now, here's what all we were before we were reconciled. We didn't mention we were enemies, but we were also under condemnation. That's what John chapter 3 and the verse 19 stresses, the fact that before we were saved, we were under condemnation. Think about how horrible that would be. To die under condemnation is to spend an eternity in hell, is what it is. So you can see the great need. John chapter 3 and the verse 18 says, but he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Now, to believe on Jesus is more than believing that Jesus existed. To believe in is to trust Him as your Savior. Now listen to this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. You're not under condemnation. If you've trusted Jesus, you're not under condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already. So if you've not been reconciled, not only are you an enemy, but you're living under condemnation. Not only that, but the Gospel of John chapter 3 and the verse 36, listen to this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And to believe, of course, is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Trust that He died for you. Trust the Gospel. The message that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, and hell for us. You trust that message as the means of saving your soul. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, if you're not reconciled, let's sum up here just a little bit. If you've not received reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and this is the condition you're in. Romans 5:10 says we were enemies before we were saved. That's where you stand before God. You don't want to die God's enemy. You want to die having peace with God. In order for that to happen, you have to be reconciled. We were enemies. We were condemned already, John 3:18 says. Condemned already. And then John 3:36 says His wrath abides on us. So when you think about all three of those together, that shows you the need of reconciliation. So you need to be reconciled to Him. You need to be brought from being an enemy to being condemned, to be from being under His wrath, to be brought into a position of being a child, uncondemned, and at peace with God. And you know what? You can receive that right now as you listen to this radio broadcast. The Scripture says that in the book of Romans 10, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can save you right there where you're listening to the radio right now. He can save you right now if you'll call upon Him and say, Lord, I want to receive reconciliation through Jesus. I want to trust that He died for me. And He indeed will save your soul. It says in the book of Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that same thing is true of you. If you will you will, right now, if you will, He'll save your soul. You'll be reconciled to Him. You'll be brought into this position of peace. Well, that was our first point, reconciliation defined. Remember, reconciliation is to go from being an enemy of God to being brought into a position of peace with God. Which one are you? Are you His enemy, or are you at peace with Him? When you're brought into peace with Him, that means that you have been reconciled to Him. Now, let's move on to our second point. Let me get back to our text in my Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at our second point, which is reconciliation described. Reconciliation described. Notice what it says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's notice in verse 19. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, it's obvious that everybody in the world is not reconciled to God. The people that have trusted Christ as their Savior are those that are reconciled to God. So what's the idea of this word world? It carries the idea of not just Jews, but also Gentiles. Gentiles and Jews. Anyone that trusts Christ as their Savior will be reconciled to God, Gentile or Jew. He's talking about the world. All types. Anybody that trusts Jesus, it's just not for one group of people. It's for anyone, regardless of their birth. It's for anyone that trusts the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Gentile as well as Jew. That's the idea of it. So, let me read on. We're looking at reconciliation described. God was in Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is reconciliation described. And it's described of as God not imputing their trespasses to them. Of course, we've all trespassed. And Scripture says in Romans 3 that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. We all have. Well, what happens is when you trust Him as your Savior, He takes your sin and He charges your sin to Jesus. Rather than you paying for your sin forever and actually never paying it. That's why hell is forever. It's a payment that you'll never pay. The only way you can truly have your sins paid for is by trusting Jesus. When you trust Jesus, He doesn't impute your trespasses to you. See, we're describing what reconciliation is. You're brought into this position of peace with God, whereas before you was an enemy of God. What happens to your sin? Your sin is a barrier between you and God. So what He does is He charges your sin to Jesus. That's what salvation is. That's what reconciliation is. And that's also what part of justification is. He takes your sin and He charges your sin to Jesus. You got pictures of that in the Old Testament. On the Great Day of Atonement, they take a bull and a goat, and the bull was for the sins of the high priest, and the goat was for the sins of the people. And they would slay them, and He would place His hands on its head. It was a picture of the transfer of the sin to the offering. Well, Jesus was the one that bore our sins on Calvary. Listen to this, and this is in the same text, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, and we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He made Him, that's Jesus, to be our sin offering. Rather than charging our sin to us, He charged His sin to His own Son. Everybody see what I'm talking about? So, God was in Christ reconciling the world, that's Gentile as well as Jew, not imputing their trespasses. See, that's part of what it means to be reconciled. Your sins are removed from you, and they are charged to Jesus, and Jesus bore our sins on Calvary's cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what he did. So, when he died on Calvary, that's when my sin, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, that's when your sin is charged to Jesus. And you don't, as for when God looks down upon you, he sees someone whose sin has been covered by his own Son. So that's not all of it, though. So reconciliation is, number one, not imputing your trespasses to you. He charges your sins to Jesus. Isn't that a tremendous blessing? Verse 19, let me read it again. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, who did he impute them to? Who did he charge them to? Well, he makes that clear in verse 21. He made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. He's our substitute. That's how things stand. Either Christ paid for your sins, or you will pay for them yourself. Of course, you'll never pay for them. That's why hell is forever, and that's why you need a Savior. That's what reconciliation is. Your sin is charged to Jesus. But that's not all he does in reconciliation and also in justification. Word justified means to be declared righteous. Word reconciliation means to be brought into a position of peace with God. And we're describing what all is a part of reconciliation. And part of reconciliation, reason why you're in this position of peace is because when you trust Jesus, your sins is not imputed to you anymore. Your sins are charged to Jesus. And he paid the debt, and he paid the debt in full. We sing the song at the church and that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay it half. He paid it all. If he missed one sin, it would be sufficient to send you to hell for it. Listen to Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, listen to this now, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that a blessing? He doesn't charge your sin to you. He charges your sin to Jesus, and he forgives you of all trespasses. And now you are reconciled to God. You're brought into a position of peace with God and justification before God and reconciliation with God. You're brought into a position from being an enemy to being at peace with him. Isn't that a glorious thing? So, he doesn't charge your sin to you. Well, what else does he do? Well, he doesn't stop by charging your sin to Jesus. He imparts or imputes, I should say, Jesus' righteousness to you. Notice what it says here in Romans, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin for us. He made Jesus to be. He's our sin offering. He's our sin substitute. Who knew no sin? Jesus was sinless. He was 100% perfect. You see, to die for our sin required the atonement of one that was perfect. That's the reason why when you go back and look at the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, when they offered an offering, for instance, they offered a lamb every day in Israel, every morning and evening at the evening sacrifice. You also can go back and read about the Passover. They had to be without spot and blemish. And that's because they pictured what Jesus was going to do. Jesus would be sacrificed for our sins, but and he was without spot and without blemish. That's why it says he knew no sin. But when he died on Calvary, he was charged with our sins. He was charged with our sins, and he died for them as if he committed them. He's our substitute. He was died in our place, and our sins was charged to him, and he paid that sin debt price in full. He did that when he died on Calvary. One of the statements that Jesus made from the cross is, "It is finished." And in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but in the Greek, that's one word. If you come to our church on our pulpits, a little is a little sign that says tetelestia on it. And the word tetelestia means paid in full. And that's what it is finished means. Paid in full. When someone owed a debt, and they came, for instance, if they owed a merchant a debt, and they came in and they paid that debt, they'd take their bill and across it, they would write tetelestia. What does that mean? Paid in full. So Jesus was charged with our sin. And what he does in justification and in reconciliation is our sins are charged to him, but his righteousness is charged to us. It says in 5:21, we are made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I say this all the time at the church, and I've said on the radio before, how much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? It takes 100%. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not 100% righteous. Neither am I in myself, but I have a 100% righteous standing with God because I've trusted Jesus. And that's what being saved means. You have your sins charged to Jesus. You have his righteousness charged to you. And you're made the righteousness of God. You're made the righteousness of God in him. Paul spoke of the same thing in Romans chapter 4. And he quotes Psalms 32 in Romans 4 to prove his point. But in Romans chapter 4, here's what he says. It says, verse 3 of Romans 4, for what saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, I want you to listen to what he's saying. But to him that worketh not. But to him that worketh not. That means you don't work for your salvation. Now I'm not saying that people that are saved don't do good works. They do. But the reason why you're doing your good works is not to get saved. If you're doing your works to get saved, then you're saving yourself. I'm telling you tonight, what saves you is the 100% righteousness of Jesus that's charged to your account and the 100% payment of your sin when your sin was charged to Jesus. And you now have a perfect standing before God because of Jesus. Let me read on. But him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Now listen, he's quoting Psalms 32. Even as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness. That means he charges it to your account without works. Him charging that righteousness to your account was not based on your works. It was based on faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 4:8 said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, folks, that's what reconciliation described is. It's being brought into a position of peace with God. It's being brought into a perfect standing with God. It's having your sins imputed to Jesus and his righteousness charged to you. And now you're reconciled to him. You're in a position of peace with him. Isn't that a glorious and blessed doctrine, is it not? And tonight you can receive that. Matthew chapter 6, listen to this. Matthew 6 and the verse 33. Jesus is speaking of his kingdom in Matthew chapter 6. And he says, to have his kingdom, you must have his righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Listen to this now. Seek ye first. This is first in priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Top priority in your life is to seek his kingdom, and to have his kingdom, you got to have his righteousness. And how you get his righteousness is by trusting in Jesus. And when you trust in Jesus, then you're reconciled to God, you're brought into a position of peace, and you're brought into a position of justification. You are declared righteous based on your sins charged to Jesus and His righteousness charged to you, and you're reconciled to Him and brought into a position of peace. Well, the last of this, and let me hurriedly get this in. Let's talk about reconciliation declared. It says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We represent the Lord. An ambassador is usually someone from another country that represents their country to another. We're ambassadors of the Lord. While we're here, we represent Him. And what we do is we want other people that we come into contact with to receive this message of reconciliation. It's committed to His ambassadors, and everybody that's saved is an ambassador. And we have this reconciliation message, which comes by trusting Christ as your Savior. And we need to be good ambassadors. Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace. And that's what ambassadors are supposed to do. We want other people to have what we have. We want other people in our family and people we work with and people we come into contact with to have the same reconciliation that we have in Christ. Well, folks, I pray that you've been reconciled. We gave three details of reconciliation tonight from 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. We defined that reconciliation is going from being an enemy to being in a position of peace. We described reconciliation as not having your sins imputed to you, rather having them imputed to Christ and having His righteousness imputed to you. You have a perfect standing and you're brought into a position of peace. And then we've talked about being an ambassador of this message. Well, folks, we pray it's been a blessing to you. May God add His blessings to His Word.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening or anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is brought to you by Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.